The Brad Sesmat Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Thanks for being with us. Busy weekend, lot to get to, a start of a new week. Hope you had yourself a great weekend. Friday night, I was out at a high school football game in my neighborhood. Eric showed up at the game, which for him meant from going to his place to, I don't know, Lower Tucson. So I saw him on Friday night. Saturday was just a day of me screwing around. Went out and hit a golf ball late in the day and kind of cleared my head. Watched a lot of Diamondbacks. Had the Cardinal game on DVR. And really started to look ahead towards college football. I don't know about you, but I'm kind of done with the Maryland and Ohio State stories off the field. And I want to, because there's actually games this weekend. Hawaii plays Colorado State this Saturday. Yeah, I'm that guy that's going to watch Hawaii against Colorado State. I'm not even going to apologize for it. I just know that it feels like here in the last month that there's been nothing but the scandal and the garbage, and it's important to talk about it, in particular with Ohio State. Maryland football is not a big deal on the field. This is more off the field. How can this stuff happen where a player dies of heat exhaustion and a strength coach is making kids eat chocolate bars in front of teammates while they're in the weight room? This stuff actually happened on a college campus. You can't script this stuff. So you have to address it, but I'm just kind of done with it. I just want to get on to the games. Like the first AP Top 25 football poll came out today. Polls are fun to talk about. The AP poll I don't think matters nearly as much as it once did. I think when it's all said and done and we're playing in the playoff, it's going to be probably the same three or four teams that it is every year, unfortunately, because I'd like it to be more than that. I thought it was great that Herm Edwards was on SportsCenter for like, I don't know, five, six, seven. It was a long segment of Herm Edwards. And so that there's some national buzz about a guy that if you go back to the day that he was hired, you would have thought it was the worst move in the history of Arizona State. Like, I don't know how many people in our industry, I said, and I'll stand by it, in Ray, I trust. I wrote that in bold headlines. Those of you that don't like Ray Anderson, and there's a lot of you because of the baseball program, you think I'm nuts. You think I'm on the payroll. I just flat don't know what I'm talking about. And it's fine. Everybody's entitled to their opinion, even if it's the wrong one. Our opening comments brought to you by Sagicor Now. Protect what matters most. You can do that through life insurance. Have you looked at your personal situation? Have you looked at your investments? Have you looked at life insurance? Do it. Log on your free quote right now at SagicorNow.com. Sagicor Now, we appreciate Sagicor and their support. Wide open show today, and I like these because there's a ton to get to. I think we'll start on the Cardinal side of things and the NFL in particular, and I'll save the college football for later in the show. The Cardinals game itself, actually, from a preseason standpoint, wasn't half bad. It wasn't the low-grade dog food that I'm used to seeing when it comes to preseason football. It's because of the intrigue of Baker Mayfield for Cleveland or Josh Allen for Buffalo, but from the Cardinals space, it's Josh Rosen and what was he able to do. Before that, it was Sam Bradford. Sam Bradford was perfect. He was perfect on the field. David Johnson, I don't know, they gave him the ball a couple times, saw the big touchdown, and I'm saying, get him off the field. Get him off the field. And then the second thought was, get him paid. Get him paid. Michael, I don't know what else you have to see with him. I know he's coming off of an injury. But David Johnson on Friday night in New Orleans looked really good. Eric, did you see any of the game on Friday? Did you see?
I saw the first quarter and a half when I entered the state of New Mexico and grabbed a bite to eat before the local high school game out by where you live.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what did you make out of the Cardinals?
Again, watching with someone at a sports bar, I was sort of half paying attention.
Yeah.
Happy to see Christian Kirk make a great touchdown catch. And happy
You're
to
leading
see,
his fan club.
Happy
You're like
to
his
see
agent.
Josh Rosen put a ball in a place that the elite NFL quarterbacks put balls into about as wide as this little box that I'm appearing in over your left shoulder. So
are you with me on David Johnson?
Like, I am.
Shouldn't there be a note from the Cardinals. If there's ever a week for them to extend David Johnson, because this is the week that Steve Keim's supposed to be brought back. This, you want to deflect attention? The day that Steve Keim's back is the day that David Johnson signs his extension.
Nice, seamless transition.
Like
nothing happened.
We're not here to talk about Steve. Steve is back. By the way, David is now one of the highest, if not the highest paid player in the league. We're going to pay him a dollar more than what Todd Gurley is getting with the Rams. That's it. We're going to pay him $2 more than what Le'Veon Bell wants with the Steelers.
He looks fresh.
Oh, yeah.
He should look fresh.
Yes.
I mean, he basically hasn't played football in a year. In pads. But, yeah, I would say we've seen enough, so I'm sure he's going to play quite a bit against Dallas this week. I don't know why, but it is the third preseason game where the starters play the most.
And it's a Sunday night NBC game.
It is.
So,
and people will be watching because it's the Cowboys.
People are going to be
Sunday
watching.
It's a Sunday night game. And
yes.
It's prime time. And
yeah, that's the hard part on this one for the Cardinals, because the league is going to – the league would frown, I would think – like the Hall of Fame game, was it last year or a couple of years ago when they were in it? I don't know. They played guys that weren't going to make the team.
Yeah, last year because Kurt went in. So
yeah. So they played guys that weren't really going to make the team
much.
So I don't want to see anybody. But the downside, okay, and I am that guy. I am the guy that sits and watches preseason football and says, you got to be bleeping kidding me. Robert Kimdiche has become that guy. He is always hurt. He's got to pull himself off the field. And you just want the guy to come through in a big way, and he hasn't. And he got hurt again on Friday, had to pull himself out, was out for the rest of the game. You could hear it in the voices of Dave Pasch and Ron Wolfley doing the broadcast. This is why I like them. There is no sugarcoating. Yeah, there's some homer and cheerleading stuff, but that's to be expected. It's a local broadcast. What do you want? It's that this guy is turning into a bust. For a lot of people's view, he's already there. Now, I will tell you, there were those that thought that DJ Humphreys was a bust. And DJ Humphreys, from my point of view, is starting to turn the corner. In fact, has turned the corner. I'm not saying he's going to be a Pro Bowl, perennial Pro Bowl player, but DJ Humphreys looks like he's earned the note of being a first-round draft pick. Hassan Reddick has played pretty well here in camp, from my point of view. I don't know if it's Steve Wilkes' style on defense with him, but Hassan Reddick seems to be more around the ball, more of a nose for the football, more of the speed of the game. So those are the things that I took away from on the game on Tuesday, on Friday night. Again, I'm one of those that would like to have two preseason games and get the rest out of here, but the owners know that people will watch for whatever reason, and they're going to put down gobs of money. If David Johnson gets hurt this Sunday night, again, we're going to hear the nonsense of next man up. And we hear that for every player who goes down, next man up. We never hear we need to protect the players. I think the other big NFL story over the weekend, again, was the helmet-to-helmet rule. Helmet-to-helmet rule was in full force in the Vikings game. This was put in, from what I've read and some people I've talked to and just the understanding of it, the NFL and the NFLPA and Troy Vincent had 10 different ideas that they put down on paper for the competition committee to look at. Competition committee looked at all 10 of them. This ended up being one that they just said, well, this is how we think it's going to go. Here's number 11, and boom, we're doing it this way. So far, I don't know anybody who likes it. The feel of the game has just been taken out. You're supposed to be the linebacker coming in on the running back, and the running back's going to be able to blow you up and break four of your ribs because you can't form tackle like you were taught. That's really how I see it. And it's hard to watch. I watched very little. I wanted to see a little bit of Baker Mayfield. I wanted to see a little bit of Josh Allen. Wanted to see how some of these young quarterbacks are doing. Selfishly, it's because I'm on a fantasy team, but I just wanted to see how they're doing. I tried to watch New England and Philadelphia, and it was low-grade dog food. It really was. And so it's unfortunate because will this go all the way through to the regular season, or are they just going through these bumps over the next few weeks until they get it figured out? And then week one, when the Cardinals play the Redskins, we're not going to have any of this. The flags weren't flying as much, for sure, at least in the Cardinal game. It was a pretty clean game, I thought. But nonetheless, there are some things around the NFL this weekend on the helmet-to-helmet that this has been the overriding topic. As much as I would like to say, boy, the 49ers with Jimmy Garoppolo look pretty good, or Seattle looks like they're coming back to the pack, or the Rams and Todd Gurley's new contract, and what do you know, Aaron Donald is going to show up and get paid big money. Shocker. All that stuff is fine, but the helmet-to-helmet rules, at least for now. The Ohio State story, I've got to get into it. I'm not going to do the whole next segment on it, but over the weekend at both Ohio State and Maryland, things happened. We'll talk about ASU and U of A and their openers coming up. The College Football AP Top 25, the Diamondbacks, all straight ahead on today's show. Sports360AZ.com. I'm Brad Sussmat. On the college football front, today is a very good day for those of us that are looking forward to the start of the season on the field. Doesn't mean that we sit here and do not address what's going on off of it. We'll talk about Ohio State and we'll talk about Maryland here in a moment, and on the field with ASU and BYU and so BYU at Arizona and so on and so forth. But the AP Top 25 is out. This is one of those, it's like low-hanging fruit. It is the candy store. The poll started all the way back in 1936. Alabama is in a spot where they could be the team with the most weekly number one rankings in the poll history. Number one AP preseason poll for the third straight year. I don't know if you saw the Nick Saban quote over the weekend. So they suffered a couple of losses on their defensive side of the football. I was going to tell Eric to pull this, but he uses some salty language. Someone asked him about, you know, how do you replace these guys? And he did his typical Nick Saban. Well, you guys think we can just bleep out players out of our system here?
You can.
You bleep players out.
How do you replace a starter? Well, let's see. Our 2-deep has five other 5-star players all vying for the second and third spot. So I guess over the next couple of weeks, we'll just have to figure out how to find replacements.
They have a transfer from Washington who's coming in. It's the whole thing, Eric. There's a watch list now. I was talking to some people that would know at our local universities. There's a watch list now of fifth-year seniors because school has just started this week Yep. in a lot of places. So there are players that are sitting there on the sideline just waiting to get a phone call.
Free agents, essentially.
They're grad transfers. I shouldn't say fifth-year seniors. Grad transfers who already are – they're ready to go. They can just show up on a moment's notice, but they've got to get enrolled in school. So you have to think that somewhere in Nick Saban's office, he has this grad transfer list, and somebody's saying, man, we got to go find a linebacker. Well, coach, we got 10 of them. Who are we going to go out and go pursue? And we've seen it here at Arizona State. Blake Barnett, he's out of here. He's gone. He's going to drop in on another program. I'm just going to bounce until I find a place where I can put up some numbers to go to the NFL. I'll be damned if I'm going to stick around and try to win as a team. I'll be damned if I'm going to stick around and try to do the whole teamwork thing. I got to get ready for the NFL. I'm a fifth-year grad transfer. I'm out of here. So
the AP poll's dumb.
Come on. What are you talking about? This is fun.
Dumb. Who cares?
Because you know that Alabama...
Get back to me in January.
You know that Alabama is going to be playing in the Final Four. You know that Clemson's probably going to be playing in the Final Four. You know that Georgia is going to be probably playing in the Final Four.
Mm-hmm.
Wisconsin's schedule is pretty easy. Their crossover games are not that difficult.
And they got a number one vote.
Who could do that. Then you have Ohio State. Who's sitting there? Ohio State, look, if Urban Meyer gets blown out later this week, I don't think he's going to, but these latest allegations on Zach Smith are so seedy and so creepy that it speaks totally to how did you not know? I'll get into those details in a minute. So then you have Washington that sits there at number 6. Oklahoma's at 7. Miami's at 8. See, I think when you get past about 6, Oklahoma, are they going to be there at the end?
They could.
Is Miami going to be there at the end? I don't see it. Auburn?
They could.
Auburn plays Washington to open the season. That's, you know.
Auburn's got a good team.
But Auburn, Washington, that's two top 10 teams. They're going to be playing each other. I like that. Penn State, Michigan State, you get to around that point. Like Notre Dame, Michigan, they're playing each other finally again. And Notre Dame, Michigan, to me, to open up the season in a couple weeks, very much looking forward to that. I don't think Michigan's going to go far, but their quarterback is somebody that I'm looking at. Your beloved TCU came in at 16. Is that about right?
I don't know.
You don't care. You don't
care. No, I mean, I don't know. Like you said, it's just, okay, who's going to be really good? Alabama, Clemson, Georgia, Ohio State. After that,
yeah,
it's just, you know, if you're a Big Ten fan, you're happy because the Big Ten has 1, 2, 3, 4 teams in the top 15.
And so they have a shot.
And the Pac-12 has 1, 2 teams in the top 15. Three teams with USC coming in at 15.
But. And we can't have Paula on anymore because of this. Because Paula is now part of the CFP. And she actually had her first meeting, I think it was last week or 2 weeks ago.
She did.
Yeah. And so she cannot come on the air and comment on any of this stuff.
Because it's all top secret. She's in the room.
She's in the room. So I'm not going to have the professor on and say, hey, so how's everything going? And talk to you later. What about the Diamondbacks? And not say, what do you think about college football? That's not happening.
Right.
Paula's my friend. Love Paula to death, as do you. Can't have her on anymore until she gets through this. So, you know, on the college front, if you look at the top 25 and say, okay, which one of these top 25 teams has a chance? You know, I kind of like West Virginia. That's just me picking a team out of the dark. I always like David Shaw at Stanford. They've got a Heisman guy there, Bryce Love. Why wouldn't I like them? But it's really the same three, four teams, five teams as every year, except the Ohio State Buckeyes.
Yeah, I think West Virginia and Stanford are second tier. I think they're definitely top 15 teams. I don't think they're playoff threat teams.
But they have enough of a schedule. Because Stanford will play Washington and Stanford will play Notre Dame, that if they were to go on a run, right? If they were to go on a run, you've got to have some big games to pad your resume.
But Stanford is hurt by the fact that they play on the West Coast.
Oh, I agree with you.
And if there's a borderline SEC school that's matched up against a Pac-12 school as to who makes the playoffs, let's be clear on what's going to happen in that scenario.
So you're thinking like Mississippi State. They made the poll at 18.
Yeah, I mean, like Notre Dame.
LSU.
Notre Dame's a perfect example. I mean, if you're a West Coast school and it's you against Notre Dame, you're never going to make it. You're just not going to.
But you know, Auburn does open with Washington.
Uh-huh.
That game is enormous, I think, for the playoffs, even though it's in September. I know it's when you lose. I get it, Eric. I get that.
Jake Browning against Jared Stidham. I'm all for that.
Yeah.
Let's do this.
But that's a game that has national New Year's and postseason CFP implications. You don't have to get on a plane and go sit in a room to look at that and say, well, this is a game we really have to pay attention to.
Which is such a slippery slope, Brad, in week one, because you just never know
what you're
going
to get in
college
football.
They don't play exhibition games, thankfully, like the NFL. So week one, in many ways, is sort of like their preseason.
But it's like the Michigan State ASU game.
Be careful, Michigan State. I'm just saying.
I can't.
Be careful.
But we're overlooking UTSA.
It's a win.
It's easy to UTSA. ASU beat them by 4. It's the last time they played. And that game was in San Antonio. That game was an ugly game. And, yeah, it's Herm's first game. Yeah, it's at home.
I think ASU
never loses their home openers.
I just think that ASU is going to win that game.
I think – so I'm going to kickoff luncheon this Friday. In the last few years, I've gone to the kickoff luncheon, and I just sat there and watched Ray. And last year in particular, I told you this. I said on the air, Ray basically fired Todd last year at the kickoff luncheon, in my view. He got up and he thanked the golf coach for their great year and their championship, which is fine. It's the kickoff luncheon for football.
Yikes.
The room's maybe half full. It's the kickoff luncheon.
Kickoff luncheon.
Yes.
Kickoff.
Kickoff. And
I guess they kick off in soccer, right?
And then it was, we have the best, deepest assistant coaching staff since the days of Frank Cush. And I'm looking around like, did he just really invoke Coach Cush's name here on the kickoff luncheon with Todd? And then he finished with, I'm looking forward to the journey of our head coach. Looking forward to see our head coach and where he takes this program to the highest levels possible. Go Devils. Walks off the stage, doesn't go back to his seat, walks out, gets his car, gone. Fired. You know, I walk out of there and it's the usual people that it's fine. It's fine, guys. Not picking on you. It's just a fact. It's the usual. Ah, that was great, man. I am so fired up. And then, of course, we all know what happened in the San Diego State game and just all that stuff. So I'm really looking forward to that. All right, on Ohio State. So Zach Smith had to be playing by a different set of rules with Urban Meyer. Zach Smith is this wide receiver coach. He's Earl Bruce's grandson. So you have this whole deal with Ohio State and the legacy and all that stuff. It came out. Brett McMurphy has proof, has stuff that shows that Zach Smith, between February 2015 and May 2015, ordered $2,200 in sex toys to be delivered to the football facility. That he had sex with a female assistant in the coach's office. I mean, $2,200 in sex toys. I don't know. I don't go to that. I'm just not in that space. Is that about right? I don't know. What does that look like? Is it a crane? I don't know. $2,200. He goes to the White House and takes a picture of his privates, showing a towel behind him that's got the presidential seal on it. What a great idea. I'm in here. I'm just going to hang on for a second. Let me see if I can get this just about. Yeah, I think I got it. He had a DUI charge in 2014 that went unreported, according to the Toledo Blade. So, of course, the Ohio State faithful are, this is a witch hunt. Everybody's just coming after us. Guys, you can't make up all this stuff. So the Board of Trustees will get the report. It was supposed to be yesterday that the report came to the Board of Trustees. This is important because on a number of levels, it's one of the biggest programs out there, and a lot of garbage was going on behind the scenes. You send your young men to go off and play sports, and instead, you got a guy over here who's just acting, I don't even know how to put it, and to say that Urban Meyer had no knowledge. It's always, well, I had no knowledge. Well, I had no knowledge. I don't know. Did anybody get the UPS truck that came in? They dropped off a box of toys. Hey, Zach, your box is here. What do we have here? Oh, is this the latest weight room gear? I mean, come on.
I look forward to Ohio State coming out, though, and saying that Urban Meyer is keeping his job. We did a thorough investigation. Gene Smith has been cleared of all charges. We look forward to opening the season against fill-in-the-blank directional school. Go Bucks. Because you know that's what's going to happen. There's no way he's losing his job. None. And Ohio State is so happy what's going on with their partner in crime in the Big Ten, Maryland. Yay! Deflect all the attention to Maryland.
But they're not. This is a bigger program.
It is, but nothing's going to happen to Urban Meyer. Nothing. The longer this drags out, now we're in complete radio silence. The investigation is going to be completed within the next couple weeks.
Okay, you would be surprised if something happened to Urban Meyer.
Totally.
Okay, I would not.
I would.
I would. I was on your side of the street to begin with, but as this has progressed. And I know that there's a U of A person watching somewhere that said, you can't believe what the media said. Look at everything that happened with Sean Miller and the accusations. You can do a tracking deal on $2,200 in sex toys being delivered to the hall. Okay. And there's people that say that she's crazy. He's crazy. Facts are Urban Meyer kept this guy on his staff for years.
And got caught in a lie.
And got caught in a lie.
Which is a really bad look.
And so he had an assistant coach who played by a different set of rules. There was just a different set of rules. I've said this off the top. The day after this came out, I'd read this, talked to people about this, heard interviews on this. Zach Smith was in the same financial, he was the lowest paid assistant coach in the same position coach for the longest period of time on their staff. Okay, so you just got this guy over in the corner. It's like, we got to, you know, yeah, just have him do his thing. And he's the lowest paid assistant, so we don't need to promote him. Who sticks around for that unless you're just on scholarship?
Urban Meyer's mentor, Brad, is Earl Bruce. Earl Bruce hired Urban Meyer. Urban Meyer's first job was under Earl Bruce. So you can connect the dots on this any way you like. But, yeah, this wasn't just a head coach-assistant coach relationship, clearly.
They open in 13 days against Oregon State.
Blowout. They're going to blow out the Beavers. Yep.
And
it's a 9 a.m. game in Columbus. Thanks, Oregon State. Thanks for coming. Goodbye.
You don't think that Ryan Day is going to be the coach? You think it's going to be Urban Meyer?
I think it's going to be Urban Meyer.
Bet you a sandwich on it.
Okay, I'll bet you a sandwich.
All right. All right. We got
so wait, let's get specific. So Urban Meyer is suspended, or is he just not coaching that game? Is he fired?
Okay, you do want specifics. He's not going to be coaching that first game, in my opinion. And if he's not, then he's fired, because I've already said they cannot do the four-game suspension or three-game suspension. They can't, because then they're admitting that there's a lot of stuff here.
But there is a lot of stuff.
There is. That's why I think he's going to be blown out.
They should admit that.
I think he's going to get blown out because of it.
But you have people working behind the scenes from a PR side.
Sure they do.
They're going to make this. They're going to put lipstick on this pig, and they're going to make it look nice and pretty.
Yes. No, you're right. You're right. There is that group. But I think at the end of the day, there's been so much stuff, and the lying part of it too, that I think he's in trouble on this one. I think by now, Eric, they would have already said, he's cleared, we're going to move on, the coach is not here, he handled we were disappointed in how he spoke at Media Day, so on and so forth.
See, I take the exact opposite approach. Why hasn't he been fired yet if they know all the facts? If they know everything and this investigation is pretty much wrapped up, why has he not already been fired?
Because there's a $40 million deal of fired with cause, without cause. And attorneys behind the scenes are working on the 40, in my view. This is my view on it. There's $40 million at stake. So if you fire them with cause or you fire them without cause, how are you negotiating that? Or are they negotiating behind the scenes through it? Again, I can be dead flat wrong. Won't be the last time. It's just as this is drug on, the Maryland deal, if DJ Durkin is back at coaches Maryland, then they're high. They are. They've been nipping on the cooking cherry. You can't.
No, that's not going to happen.
There's no way.
He's really
there's
good
no
as gone.
Way. And again, I'll say it just because I've seen what's happened. Todd Graham's sitting here. He's a cleanup guy. He'd come in there. He wouldn't cause any problems. He would talk a good game, and you guys would move on. And you can't even go within the staff, I think, at Maryland on that one. All right, I ran long here, so I didn't get into ASU or BYU or U of A. I'll get into that and the Diamondbacks. I'll tie all that together after this timeout. Sports360AZ.com. All right, I'm going to finish today's show on the college end, but in this segment, I want to get into the Diamondbacks for a bit. 5-4 on a road trip is disappointing. I don't care that they are still in first place today. I don't. It's first place on August 20th. And this is really going to come down to where the Diamondbacks are when they play the Dodgers and how those games go between the two teams. It's very clear that's the direction we're going here. And maybe Colorado too. The facts are, when they write the story of the 2018 season, if the Diamondbacks don't make the postseason, it's going to come down to how bad they were in May and what happened when they played lesser opponents in mid-August when nobody was really paying attention. Those that want to sugarcoat a 5-4 road trip against three really bad teams, I think I said last week 6-3 at the bare minimum, but the way that this trip went, and I get it, it's Trevor Hoffman night on a Saturday night and nobody's really paying attention. Those are games you look back on when you finish a game back and you've got to be playing in the one-game playoff or you miss out in the postseason. Those are the games that just kill you. I don't know why they were so bad in May, and I don't know why they're so bad right now. Yeah, they took 3-4 from San Diego. They should. The Padres aren't good. But there were these games had a lot of angst about them. These were not games that you came in and it was 8-0, 9-0, 10-0, and you just ran away and hid. Yesterday's game came down to some late heroics. It came down to an A.J. Pollock home run to break a 3-3 tie. It came down to earlier in this series, Buchholz throwing a complete game, which was great for the bullpen. Archie came in and maybe figured some things out, maybe didn't. Still, I'm not willing to say everything is all well and good at the good ship Arizona Diamondbacks. He got the win yesterday. But, man, this team's just not running away when they have opportunities to do it. This is where you should be coming home with a 3-game lead, a 4-game lead. And the Dodgers, not like they lost on a walk-off balk the other night at Seattle. Same night that the Diamondbacks gagged one away, they lose on a walk-off balk. So, yeah, my expectations are high on this team. This is a year that they have to go for it because they are probably going to lose Pollock and Corbin. And you don't know what's going to happen with some of these younger players, if they are going to blossom or not. You're closer to losing Goldschmidt. You got Greinke's big contract, and you're right there. And you go through a stretch where it's just, you're just meh. You're nothing special. And the way the rest of the National League is laid out right now, again, the Diamondbacks had a stretch here where they could have been in a position to stretch out their lead in the entire National League. They were not able to do it. You know, the Cubs are sitting there with a 3.5 game lead over the Brewers. They're up 2 on the Diamondbacks in the win column. If you look over, I've got it right here. If you go look over at the wild card, the way the wild card shapes up right now, you know, the Diamondbacks, yeah, they're on top of the division, but look, the Dodgers are just 1.5 back them. Colorado's even. So one of those teams isn't going to make it. And when you go through a tough stretch like they went through, that's unfortunately could be the team. So I'm disappointed in that. I'm excited that the Angels are coming in. Again, this is a team that's really not heading, and not really, they're not heading anywhere this season. The Angels are, 12 games back in the wild card? They haven't played great this season. It's a team that always has Mike Trout, but not much of anything else. If Ohtani is able to play, if Ohtani is healthy enough, we're going to see Ohtani on the DH side of things. So the Angels come in here as a team that the Diamondbacks should beat on. Again, yeah, it's a brief series, but this is a stretch where they should have been able to get some distance. That's my point on this rant. I'm frustrated that they can't seem to be better than just a 500 team, and I don't know why. I really don't. College football on the other side with ASU and U of A. I'm Brad Sussmat. All right, before we get out here, on the college front locally. So let's start with U of A first. So U of A did come in the AP poll as others receiving votes. Would have been 31st in the media poll. And I think the Khalil Tate factor is what voters are looking at. And also Kevin Sumlin coming in with an established reputation. It's not like these voters are following U of A inside and out or ASU inside and out. The whole view on ASU is it's Herm Edwards. He hasn't coached in forever. And they really don't have a whole lot there to work with. I would disagree on the part about they don't have a whole lot there to work with. On the U of A end, so they play BYU. BYU's had a quarterback, Tanner Mangum. It feels like he's been there longer than we've been doing this show, like 7 years. It's just forever. And his offensive coordinator is Jeff Grimes. Those of you that know ASU football know Jeff Grimes' name. Jeff Grimes was part of Dirk Cutter's staff at Boise State. He came here to be ASU's offensive line coach and the run game coordinator. And he actually tutored the late Loren Wade, turned him into the freshman rushing record book holder before he was tragically murdered. So Jeff Grimes is somebody that U of A is going to have to deal with. And Jeff, I thought, was very sharp mind when he was with Dirk Cutter. BYU has a veteran team. That's what BYU has been through the years. I don't think they have a whole lot to work with. They have a first-year coach. And so in the battle of coaches, I think this is a good one for U of A. In terms of UTSA, so Herm said the other night that as many as 12 freshmen could play this season. And people are up in arms about this on social media. Like, how is it that we have so many freshmen and we should have been recruiting better? Yeah. Hello. We've been over here saying, you know, they're not getting many good players. I was talking to an NFL guy who said the view of ASU is they have about 9 NFL guys. 9. That should never happen. So if Herm is sitting there looking at his roster, and all 3 of his linebackers could be true freshmen at some point playing on the field. That just speaks to what was going on here the last couple of years. You guys may want to be defending all you want. Todd's not here anymore. And as I said earlier in the show, Todd could still go clean up places. Go to Maryland. Clean it up. But when you have an opener like UTSA and it's your first head coach assignment for Herm Edwards this year, I don't think Herm Edwards has forgotten how to coach a football game. I really don't. I think that when it comes to that Saturday night, that they're still going to be able to run out of the tunnel. And they're still going to be able to be on the field. They're going to know how to play and line up, put the hand in the dirt. They're going to be able to know how to do that. And when people are, wow, It's going to come down, Brad, to whether Kevin Sumlin beats Herm Edwards. And if it does happen that way, then the ASU faithful are really going to be mad, because the view was, is Sumlin was pretty much a done deal to come here, until some U of A boosters, big cigars, said, no, we're going to go this direction and we're going to try to get him. So, and I'm looking forward to that. That's not till November. But a week from this Saturday, we finally get it going. And I cannot wait for that. Jared Nielsen is our chairman of the board. Eric, as always, produces. I am Brad Sussmat. Have yourself a great day.